Christmas is very old. For 20 centuries we have heard that Christ child crying. For 200 decades we have heard the angels on that hillside. Smell the stable odors behind that inn and journeyed with the wise men on that long trek to Bethlehem. Time and again the story has been told of a decree going out, of the accomplished days and Mary's delivery, shepherds in the same country and good tidings of great joy. Christmas is very old, yet somehow to St. Luke, something like a dream had been wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger of reality for all time. Yes, Christmas is very old, and many years have come between that dream and our reality. But Christmas past was Christmas future, giving rise to Christmas present. And Christmas present faces our reality. What dream will be born this Christmas in the midst of our reality? What peasant shepherds in Vietnam will hear angels sing of peace this year? What wise men will die in the halls of the UN before they find this year's Star of Peace? How many Vietnams, how many Koreas, border disputes, world wars and revolutions, how many crusades and persecutions stand between that child and his peace, his love, his reconciliation? What dream is born in the midst of our reality?
A mercy field and defiant Christmas to all still worthy to be called men. How to celebrate this birthday, my friends, this life so real in love, so beautiful with saneness and humility that a thousand Caesars must ever bow before its contemptible anger. This green and human life, which had its sacrificial ending even as each year, as the tree which thrusting ever heavenward, its every leaf falling, stands nailed at last upon the winter sky. Even as the bountiful and waterly earth place of all creatures' lifeness does itself sicken over and lie bride to cold death. Oh, ever and solely that from such marrying life more glorious may rise. Oh, to life all, even death. Oh, glory to life, the only real law and commandment to men, as to every living thing, that they live in helpful, continuing life together. There is no other issue. Oh, you leaders of nations, you speak of causes, of a side of rightness and of justice, of a side of tyranny and oppression. But what is the truth? That each and every one of you is preparing to carry out the horrible and insane extermination of all human beings. Does any sane man anywhere doubt this? Blasphemers of God and of man, of life itself, this is treason, this monstrous, inhuman betrayal, this hideous and cancerous assault on all that man has been. Oh, in the fire shall the screaming void be cleaned that life may again live. Mansions in the hearts of men. What voice sounds there now? What rage of love? Oh, my brothers, why have you forsaken one another?
Yes, Christmas is very old, and war is very old, and it is, as T.S. Eliot has said, Between the dream and the reality falls the shadow. But Christmas past was Christmas future, somehow giving rise to Christmas present. In the midst of past reality, future reality, our reality, the dream is always born from the virgin womb of hope. But hope that is born must die, for birth is death, and so the beginning must remind us of the end. But the end only marks a new beginning. There is no shadow without light, for that's the way it is with hope. Hope killed always waits to be reborn. But still, there is the problem of Christmas present.
Cultivation of Christmas Trees by T.S. Eliot. There are several attitudes towards Christmas, some of which we may disregard. The social, the torpid, the patently commercial, the rowdy, the pubs being open till midnight, and the childish, which is not that of the child for whom the candle is a star and the gilded angel spreading its wings at the summit of the tree is not only a decoration, but an angel. The child wonders at the Christmas tree. Let him continue in the spirit of wonder at the feast as an event and not accept it as a pretext, so that the glittering rapture, the amazement of the first remembered Christmas tree, so that the surprises, delight in new possessions, each one with its peculiar and exciting smell, the expectations of the goose or turkey and the expected awe on its appearance, so that the reverence and the gaiety may not be forgotten in later experience, in the bored habitation, the fatigue, the tedium, the awareness of death, the consciousness of failure, or in the piety of the convert, which may be tainted with a self-conceit, displeasing to God and disrespectful to children. And here I remember also with gratitude St. Lucy, her carol and her crown of fire. So that before the end, the 80th Christmas, by 80th, meaning whichever is the last, the accumulated memories of annual emotion may be concentrated into a great joy, which also shall be a great fear, as on the occasion when fear came upon every soul, because the beginning shall remind us of the end and the first coming of the second.
Yes, Christmas is very old, and war is very old, and hope is very old. Where then is there a dream born in the midst of our reality? If Christmas past is Christmas future giving rise to Christmas present, then let us look at another Christmas past. The time is a few days before Christmas, 1943. World War II is waging. Hitler has passed the peak of his aggression, but his decline results only in the increased slaughter of the Jews. The approaching new year will witness the murder of 12,000 Jews a day. The place is a lonely fourth floor cell in Tegel prison in the bomb-torn city of Berlin, Germany. The man confined to this cell had fought in the underground resistance movement. He knew the picture of war. He knew that his death could come at any time, yet he knew what it was to hope. He was aware of the thousands of Jews slaughtered daily. He knew the fear of terror that chilled nearly every man, woman, and child in the city. Here was a man in the midst of war, a man in the midst of death, a man in the midst of reality. But Christmas is very old, and it comes every year. And somehow in the midst of war and death, Christmas was approaching once again. Yes, Christmas was coming, Christmas with that strange intermingling of birth and death. It somehow seemed to be a dream in the midst of reality that he sat down to write this letter.
I'm writing my Christmas letter already, so as to be on the safe side. If, contrary to all expectation, I should still be here at Christmas, the past 8.5 months have taught me that it is the unexpected that happens. I'm not going to let this lonely Christmas get me down. It will always take its place among the other unusual Christmases of my life, in Spain, Africa, America, and England. In years to come, I shall not look back on this Christmas with shame, but with a certain pride. That is the only thing no one can take away from me. Of course, you can't help thinking of my being in prison over Christmas, and it is bound to throw a shadow over the few hours of happiness which still await you in these times. All I can do to help is to assure you that I know you will keep it in the same spirit as I do, for we are agreed on how Christmas ought to be kept. How could it be otherwise, when my attitude to Christmas is a heritage I owe to you? I need not tell you how much I long to be released and to see you all again. But for years you've given us such lovely Christmases that our grateful memories are strong enough to cast their rays over a darker one. In times like these, we learn as never before what it means to possess a past and a spiritual heritage untrammeled by the changes and chances of the present. A spiritual heritage reaching back for centuries is a wonderful support and comfort in face of all temporary stresses and strains. I believe that the man who is aware of such reserves of power need not be ashamed of the tender feelings evoked by the memory of a rich and noble past. For such feelings belong, in my opinion, to the better and the nobler part of mankind. They will not overwhelm those who hold fast to values of which no man can deprive them. For a Christian, there is nothing peculiarly difficult about Christmas in a prison cell. I dare say it will have more meaning and will be observed with greater sincerity here in this prison than in places where all that survives of the feast is its name. That misery, suffering, poverty, loneliness, helplessness and guilt look very different to the eyes of God from what they do to man. That God should come down to the very place which men usually abhor, that Christ was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn, these are things which a prisoner can understand better than anyone else. For him, the Christmas story is glad tidings in a very real sense. And that faith gives him a part in the communion of saints, a fellowship transcending the bounds of time and space, and reducing the months of confinement here to insignificance. On Christmas Eve, I shall be thinking of you all very much. And I want you to believe that I too shall have a few hours of real joy, and that I am not allowing my troubles to get the better of me. When one remembers the awful time so many are having in Berlin, It brings home to one more than anything else how much there is to be thankful for. It will certainly be a quiet Christmas for everybody, and the children will look back on it for long afterwards. But for the first time, perhaps, many will learn the true meaning of Christmas. Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
May we pray? Infinite, eternal, and everlasting God,
into the realms of time, space, and human life, you did reveal the divine nature and the blessed beauty of yourself to humankind. Help us to celebrate this Christmas season in humility and gratitude, in unselfish love and in cheerful service. And though our hearts are a jumble of voices and our minds overlaid with many fears, find a place where you can begin to work your wonder of peace and joy with us. If in some hidden corner, in some out-of-the-way spot, we can clear away the clutter and shut out the noise and darkness, there may you be born anew. We shall kneel in perfect peace with the wisest and humblest men to celebrate again your coming to bring new life to us all as we depart from this place of worship in your grace and in your gracious mercy and protection, and with your blessings upon all mankind forever.
Thank you.